RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Still broadcasting from the fourth floor of RRI building in Jakarta. Welcome back, listener, on Indonesia Today. This is a program that takes you closer to Indonesia. And now it's my turn, Rahma, to present the program till the next 2 hours with various interesting programs and information that you won't miss. And today's special program of the day, we have a program that reviews newly launched book and film on book film review. Then we have a music program on Meet With. So keep listening at voi.co.id, voi.co.id. Or for more direct link to the video streaming, you can click english.rriworldservice.com. So listener, why don't have to wait any longer to enjoy this next program? This is book and film review from Voice of Indonesia. Check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurating Indonesian first high-speed train project. Government expecting people to set the investment price in March. Export to Swiss soaring by almost 1,000% amounting to $1 billion US dollars. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo attended the groundbreaking event of Indonesian first ever high-speed railway in Cikalong, Wetan in the West Bandung Regency. The project worth 70 trillion rupiah and undertaken in collaboration with China will span 142 kilometers from Jakarta to Bandung, and it is expected to be completed by 2019. The high-speed train running at 350 kilometers per hour is expected to take 36 minutes to get from Jakarta to Bandung. The train will later be integrated with local mass transport systems like the Mass Rapid Transit MRT and the Light Rail Transit LRT. Director General of Mineral and Coal at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Bambang Gata, hopes that PT Freeport Indonesia would set its share in divestment price by March. Indonesian government interprets that the 60-day evaluation period was started since a deal was made, instead of an offer that was pitched last week. He pointed out that in a hearing with the House of Representatives Commission Sipon Opportune Energy in Jakarta on Wednesday, the Freeport share divestment has to go through three stages. During the first stage in January, the government formed a divestment team, explained the method, make the assumption of Freeport Indonesian financial model, and clarify the method. The team then will conduct a negotiation based on the method, assumption, and the financial model in February. During this stage, the technical team will conduct a due diligence in Mimika, while the financial team will focus on clarification and supporting data for the financial model assumption to conduct evaluation. Indonesian export value to Switzerland in 2015 reached $1 billion US dollars. This is an increase by almost 1,000% compared to 2014, around $133 million US dollars. Director General of the National Export Development at the Trade Ministry in New Zealand said that the biggest export contributor was jewelry goods. News said on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum that was held in Davos, Switzerland on Wednesday, the demand for Indonesian jewelry from Switzerland increased, boosting the value of Indonesian export to the country. Recently, Indonesian Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, PPATK, has discovered a flow of funds suspected to be used to fund terrorist attacks from Australia. However, authority is not yet to find out whether the fund was related to the recent attack on Jalan Tamrin, Jakarta. PPATK Chairman Muhammad Yusuf said on Wednesday that four of the PPATK's staff in Australia reported that there was an Australian by the initial of L who transferred money to his wife's account, who originated from Nusa Tenggara. Yusuf explained that the wife later channeled the money to H, who according to Yusuf is a suspected terrorist who imported weapons from the Philippines to Indonesia. Yusuf also pointed out that in an attempt to eradicate terrorists, he had asked the coordinating minister for politics, legal and security affairs, Luhut Panjaitan, to revise the custom law. Yusuf asserted that the revision is important to provide authority for police officers to handle smuggling cases within custom territory. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Its Nusa Tenggara Governor Frans Leburai affirmed in Kupang on Tuesday that state border is an issue of state sovereignty, so it cannot be underestimated. He said that it is related with the report where East Timor-Leste has taken part of Indonesian territory at the border of Kupang Regency and Okusi. Governor Frans asked East Timor not to occupy Indonesian territory. East Timor must respect Indonesia and Indonesia respect East Timor. Governor Frans added that his side hands over the negotiation to solve the problem to the central government. He hopes the territory which is allegedly taken is in the segment which is not agreed yet, so it can be discussed. Indonesian government is set to roll Tour de Timor in the upcoming October. The plan is aimed to promote tourism in East Nusa Tenggara to the international world. Acting head of NTT Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Weli Rameh Pohime, said to Antara News Agency in Kupang recently that the event is planned to be held in October this year. The event will take route from Belu Timor border up to Kupang. Other cycling event Tour de Flores is also scheduled to be held after this event to attract more tourists. Both events, Weli said, will be designed similar to the Tour de Singkarat. Indonesia will surely invite cyclists from 30 countries, including athletes from Indonesia. NTT regional government is also gearing up to prepare a number of tourist destinations to welcome international and local tourists. The last item, Indonesia will focus on developing its downstream industry to process raw materials and export finished goods with added value in order to catch up with other ASEAN countries such as Japan. To achieve the goal, the government hopes that the development of industry should be planned in short, medium and long term in a such way that it becomes a roadmap for the next 100 years. For this purpose, the government of Joko Widodo has established National Industry and Economic Committee, KIND, assigned to come up with the recommendation and formal strategy that will be combined with other concepts for development. Thus, Kane will focus on working out as a concept regarding the development of downstream industry where raw materials should be processed in the first place than simply exporting this. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesian Government Focusing on Accelerating the Budget Absorption. Since the beginning of 2015, Indonesian government has sought to optimize budgets continuously to urge the central and regional governments to be able to absorb the budget as much as possible. The budget acceleration absorption becomes the government's important programs to boost economic growth with a target of 5.3% this year. It is also in accordance with the direction of President Joko Widodo to all ministries and agencies in order to take concrete steps in implementing the acceleration of the government spending started from the beginning of the fiscal year to boost national economic growth. The test of the state official related to the absorption of the budget is based on Law No. 30-2014 on government administration. Even in August 2015, the government through the Attorney General formed a team of escort and security for central and regional governments. Previously, the auction process was considered complicated and often became an impediment to the budget absorption, often used as an excuse of delayed absorption. However, such this cannot be accepted on any reasons. In fact, there are a number of ministries and agencies that have successfully signed contract auction results in early 2016. Take, for example, the Minister of Agriculture has signed a contract worth 34.6 trillion rupiah, the Minister of Public Works and Housing of 8.1 trillion rupiah, the Navy at 1.19 trillion rupiah, and the Minister of Transportation 9.8 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, the Minister of Industry accelerated the realization of budget absorption in 2016 with an allocation worth 3.3 trillion rupiah. State Audit Board BPK is ready to escort the 2016 budget to accelerate the absorption of budget for the spending at central and regional levels. This must also be on right track. Chief of BPK Harry Ashar Aziz hopes the government and central and regional administration to use the budget in accordance with the principle of prudence. Slow economic growth in 2015 was believed to occur as a result of delayed budget spending in ministry and state institutions. Thus, President Joko Widodo urged ministries and state institutions to carry out an auction of free checklist implementation of budget or DIPA before the end of 2015, so that the signing could be done at the beginning of the year. For recent years, including 2015, absorption has tended to be boosted at the end of the year, while the absorption in the first semester only reached 14% to 32%. Hopefully, the emphasis of 2016 as the beginning of the budget acceleration makes all ministries and agencies to absorb the maximum budget planned. Thus, the economic slowdown that brought about impact on delayed absorption in 2015 doesn't happen anymore. Listener, that was commentary today, presented by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on January 21st, 1922, when Vladimir Lenin died. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, alias Lenin, was a Russian communist revolutionary politician and political theorist. Lenin played a leading role in the October Revolution of 1917, overthrowing the provisional government and establishing a one-party state under the new Communist Party. His government abolished Russia's elected Constituent Assembly, withdrew from the First World War, by signing a punitive treaty with the Central Powers and granted temporary independence to non-Russian nations under Russian control. Ruling by decree, it distributed land among the peasantry and nationalized banks and large-scale industries. Opponents were suppressed in the Red Terror, a violent campaign orchestrated by Cheka. Tens of thousands were killed and many others interned in the Gulag labor camps. Lenin's government proved victorious over anti-Bolshevik armies in the Russian Civil War from 1917 to 1922. Responding to famine and peasant rebellions, in 1921, Lenin introduced a mixed economic system with a new economic policy. Creating the Communist International and waging the police Soviet war to promote world revolution, Lenin's government also united Russia with neighboring territories to form the unit the Soviet Union in 1922. In increasingly poor health, Lenin expressed opposition to the growing power of his successor, Joseph Stalin, before dying at his Dacha in Gorky. Lenin died at his Gorky home on 21st of January 1924, having fallen into a coma early in the day. His official cause of death was recorded as an incurable disease of the blood vessels. Music. The next event was in 1976 when Concorde was flown for the first time. Aerospatial BAC Concorde is turbojet-powered supersonic passenger jet airliner that was operated until 2003. It featured a maximum speed over twice the speed of sound at Mach 2.04. At the cruise with the setting for 92 to 128 passengers.
postponed in 1969, Concorde entered service in 1976 and continued commercial flight for 27 years. It is one of only two supersonic transport to have ever entered commercial service. The other was the Tupolev Tu-144, which ran for a much shorter period of time before being grounded and retired due to safety and budget issue. Concorde was jointly developed and produced by Aérospatiale and the British Aircraft Corporation, BAC, under an Anglo-French treaty. The original collaboration was between BAC and Sud Aviation. Concorde's name reflects the development agreement between United Kingdom and France. In the UK, any or all of the type, unusually for an aircraft, are known simply as Concorde, with an article, without an article. This commercial flight, which was operated by British Airlines, British Airways and Air France, was started in January 21, 1976 and ended with the last flight on 26th of November 2003. The last event was in 1985 when Borobudur was bombed. 1985 Borobudur bombing refers to the terrorist bomb attack on 21st of January 1985 on Borobudur Buddhist Temple, Magelang, Central Java, Indonesia. There were no human casualties in this attack. However, 9 stupas on upper rounded terrace of Harupadatu were badly damaged by 9 bombs. In 1991, a blind Muslim preacher, Hussein Ali Al-Hashi, was sentenced to life imprisonment for masterminding. To say for masterminding a series of bombings in the midst of 1980s, including the temple attack. It is believed that the attack was Indonesian Islamic retaliation on Tanjung Priok massacre in 1984. During trial, Hussein refused to be held responsible on the attack and mentioned Muhammad Jawad, a mysterious figure, as the true mastermind. Muhammad Jawad remains unknown. On 23rd of March 1999, Hussein was pardoned and released by the then President B.J. Habibie's administration. Two other members of the right-wing extremist group that carried out the bombings were each sentenced to 20 years in 1986, and another man received a 13-year prison term. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Well, listener, our focus today entitled Competition in ASEAN Economic Community has to be responded positively. ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2016 should not be underestimated. Competition has already begun so that Indonesia should be able to compete not only with countries in ASEAN region but also with the state of European Union. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in a meeting of financial service industry at the State Palace in Jakarta recently. In this free market, President Joko Widodo warned that Indonesian participation in any free trade seemed that the falls in different blocks of the world must be calculated carefully. Even he viewed that Indonesian financial service industry must be able to compete in the region more strongly. President Joko Widodo also remarked that industry in Indonesia can be better if there are competitors. Take, for example, state-owned enterprises or banking sector such as Bank Rakyat Indonesia, BRI, which earned profit reaching 24 trillion rupiah, and Bank Mandiri, with profits reaching 19 trillion rupiah in 2014, must be able to compete. Thus, President Joko Widodo affirmed that the government will open up a negative list of investment, DNI, which once made for protection. He also said that Indonesian small and medium enterprises must have to be protected. Responding to President Joko Widodo's remarks regarding the Financial Service Authority, OJK, encouraged to immediately implement the acceleration program of financial access areas that can create economic growth more equitably, participatorily, and inclusively. On the other hand, Minister of Employment Dakiri Hanif said that ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, would bring benefit for Indonesia. Thought it is a challenge for the countries involved like Indonesia, According to Mr. Anif, Indonesia's major capital inpatient ASEAN economic community is a sense of optimism and an increase in competitive edge. In addition, employment is so huge, this makes Indonesia market biggest in ASEAN region. Mr. Anif also pointed out that the competitiveness of industrial products is strong and their products are cheap in good and in good quality. So Indonesian industry should be encouraged to improve their competitiveness. Minister of Trade Thomas Lemon also expressed the same opinion. He urged Indonesian industry to keep an optimistic to face ASEAN Economic Community AEC. This sense of being optimistic must be, according to Minister Lambon, be driven by various regulations that favor domestic industry so that Indonesia can compete in ASEAN pre-market. With the support of Indonesian government, it is expected that Indonesia needn't worry about facing ASEAN Economic Community because the current Indonesian trade deficit has improved since the second half of 2015. Minister Lambon also assessed that current trends are quite positive because the Indonesian trade deficit is getting little so that Indonesia will become a champion in the pre-market competition ASEAN Economic Community AEC. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Welcome to Headline of some national newspapers today on January 21, 2016. We start from Kompas in its headline, writes about environmental impact analysis or AMDAL of rapid train is in a hurry. The issuance of the assessment of environmental impact of rapid train projects from Jakarta to Bandung is very fast. However, the publication of the document is in a hurry because aspect of the spatial and other impacts has not been taken into account. Analysis document of the Environmental Impact Assessment, EIA, or AMDAL, is considered completed one day before the inauguration of the rapid train from Jakarta to Bandung today. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar at the Presidential Palace Complex, Jakarta, said the AMDAL documents has been issued. In the Assessment Commission meeting on Monday and Tuesday, objections arose from a number of experts, local governments, and citizens. The objection was expressed since the project has not been included in the city plan and the region yet, disaster risk tests, and a number of impacts that have not been taken into account. Media Indonesia writes about Parliament's gate abusing KPK's duty. The House of Representatives, DPR, is judged to have excessive force by abusing the supervisory functions of the institution. Parliamentary oversight authority has been used pragmatically by individuals and groups. The common threat that emerged after a number of people consulted about the Parliament's gate related to their pressure to law enforcement agencies such as the Attorney General and the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, to stop a number of cases. The Commission 3 of the House, for example, asked the Attorney General to stop the case of Papa as of stocks that allegedly involving former House Speaker Setia Novanto. Meanwhile, Tempo in its headline writes about Bahrun Naim does not come alone. Police believed Bahrun Naim is not the sole mastermind behind the terror in Tamrin Central Jakarta on Thursday last week. Metro Jaya Police Chief Inspector General Tito Katnavian revealed the result of raids before and after the terror suggested a link between actors Bahrun Naim and a number of leaders of radical groups in Indonesia. One of them, Bahruddin Shah, leader of Mujahideen of West Indonesia, who is expected in Syria along Bahrun. According to Tito, several suspected terrorists were arrested, said they received an amount from Bahrun Shah. They also claimed to be governed by Bahrun to perform a series of terror. Listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo attended the groundbreaking event of Indonesian first ever high-speed railway in Cikalon Wetan,
in the West Bandung Regency. Director General of Minerals and Coal at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Baban Gato, hopes that PT Freeport Indonesia would set its share divestment price by March. Indonesian export to Switzerland in 2015 reached $1 billion. This is an increase by almost 1,000% compared to 2014, around $133 million. Recently, Indonesia Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, PPATK, has discovered a pool of funds suspected to be used to fund terrorist attacks prone Australia. East Nusa Tenggara Governor Frans Leburai affirmed in Kupan on Thursday that state border is an issue of state sovereignty, so it cannot be underestimated. Indonesian government is set to roll Tour de Timor in the upcoming October. The plan is aimed to promote tourism in East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, to the international world. Indonesia will focus on developing its downstream industry to process raw materials and export finished goods with added value in order to catch up with other ASEAN countries such as Japan. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'm Nita, invite you to visit Sebagul Beach. Stay tuned. Listener, Natuna is one of regencies in Riau Islands province with the capital city, Ranai. This regency is well known as an oil and gas producing area. In addition, because the area is surrounded by the vast oceans, Natuna also known with abundant marine potentials. The region has many beautiful maritime destinations, one of them called Sebagul Beach. The beach is one among the cluster of beaches in Bunguran Selatan sub-district with a very beautiful panoramic. White sand with two beautiful islands in front, namely Kukar Island and Karenge Island. Listener, unlike other beaches in Natuna that fans of rows of palm trees, in Sebagul Beach, it is rarely found palm trees, but the beach is mostly decorated with high pine trees along the shoreline. Sebagul has beautiful views because it is surrounded by Mount Lintang, Mount Catuk, and Mount Sebagul. In the middle of the beach, there is a concrete pier storyboard that function as a port. On the right side, there are two simple houses on stilts, made of wood. While on its left side stood a few cages, the place to maintain some fish spaces such as sonok and grouper fish belong to local fishermen. The beach is also functioned by local fishermen as a beacon of daily livelihood. Besides Krambu, you can also see a number of points that are provided as the location of the fishing seaweed cultivation. You can do various interesting activities in Sebagul Beach. For example, sunbathing, swimming, walks on the white sand, or simply sitting on the shoreline. But for those of you who want to challenge tourism activities, you can cross the Cooker Island within less than a mile from Sebagul. On the island of just 1 hectare, you can fishing, walk around the island, watching pigeon birds who are looking to eat, or just relax enjoying the sea breeze. Crossing the Cooker is not difficult. Only 5 minutes from the Sebagul Beach, you are able to arrive there by renting the boat with fairly cheap, only 10,000 rupiah per person. Besides being able to visit the Cooker Island, you can visit Karingi Island that is located near the Sebagul Beach. Listener, on the Sebagul Beach, there is not available lodging and restaurants. Therefore, when visiting the beach, you are better to bring your own food supplies. And if you want to spend the night, you can set up a tent. Sebagul Beach is about 40 kilometers from Ranai. It can be reached by land transportation for approximately 1 to 1.5 hours. Ranai can be reached by air transportation from Batam City or Tanjung Pinang, the Riau Islands provincial capital. So please come to Sebagul Beach in Riau Islands province. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sebagul Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you Gudeg. Gudeg is food from Yogyakarta and Central Java, which is made out of young jackfruit cooked with coconut milk. It needs hours to make this food. The brown color is usually produced by thick leaves, which are cooked at the same time. Gudeg goes along with rice, and it is served with thick coconut milk gravy, ayam kampung or village chicken, egg, tofu, and sambal goreng krecek or fried spicy chili paste. The deliciousness of the sweet, rich, and spicy food is inseparable from a story in the past when gudeg emerged for the first time in Yogyakarta. For some of native Yogyakarta, gudeg is a food that they have known since they were a child. Gudeg is not from Kraton Yogyakarta Palace, but people in the city of Student. Gori, or young jackfruit, is the main ingredient of gudeg. It is because it was easily found in the gardens of people in Yogyakarta. Gudeg has also saved the hungry Indonesian armed forces. In the first invasion to Batavia, which is the then Jakarta, in 1726 to 1728, the troops of Sultan Agung were defeated. The defeat was because the troops were tired as they were hungry. The conclusion is they needed rice to stay strong to arrive in Batavia. Finally, in the second invasion, logistic areas were made in Pantura, Java's northern coastal area. From here, other areas like Batang, Brebes, Bumiayu, and many others became rice barns for the troops. Local people then cooperated to make food that was called ransom until now for Indonesian troops. Gudeg then became menu for Indonesian troops because it has good nutrition. Until now, gudeg becomes a special food from Yogyakarta. Not only Indonesian people who like this food, but also tourists visiting Jogja. It would be incomplete if we have not tasted the food from the origin place. Now gudeg has been known in some countries in the world. This is what makes Jogja people cook dried gudeg in a practical package that can be souvenir for foreign tourists. Gudeg package is attractively packed by using besek or container made of plated bamboo or kendil or jar made of burnt clay. To complete gudeg rice, rock sugar tea is the best to serve as the drink. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the story about gudeg. I'm Rahma, thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'm Nita, will present you Indonesian pop singer Titi Puspa, who are present in the Indonesian pop music industry. Who is present in the Indonesian pop music industry? Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Cinta by Titi Puspa. Happy listening.
Kau tu.
Women tend to look beautiful in public. That's the nature of women. However, it is not easy to realize it. Because to appear beautiful, women needs many things and many aspects that have to be taken into account. Usually, a career woman will always be sensitive to their appearance. Beautiful and ageless, it is attached to an Indonesian senior pop singer, Titiek Puspa. Although she is now 79 years old, but still looks like when she was 35 or 40 years old. It is not denying this is God's blessing for Titiek Puspa. The fans are very amazed with her to a youthful and energetic appearance. to present her own rendition of songs because Titiek Puspa, known as a singer, she also composed the songs she dedicated. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bimbi by Titiek Puspa. Happy listening. Listener, Titiek Puspa, the singer of three generations, still exists to this day. She is very concerned about the value of beauty because she thinks women in any professions cannot be separated from the desire to look beautiful and charming, and it is part of the power of singer that still exists throughout the time. Titiek Puspa has also won the radio and television singing contest in 1970s, before she became a famous singer in the country. Titiek determined to keep working until the end of her life, because singing is a way of life that has been chosen. Titiek Puspa deeply fortunate to be chosen as one of the presidential palace singers. Not only perform in her own country, she often joined the state visit and become the main performer. Therefore, Titiek Puspa has full support of her husband, the late Mus Mualim, an Indonesian musician. Listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kupu Kupu Malam and Aku dan Asmara by Titiek Puspa. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Benci dirinya, ada yang butuh dirinya,
ada yang berlutut menyintanya, ada pula yang kejam menyiksa dirinya. Ini hidup wanita si kupu-kupu malam, bekerja bertaruh seluruh jiwa raga. Bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Dosakah yang dia kerjakan? Sucikah mereka yang datang? Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi, terjadilah. Yang dia tahu Tuhan penyayang umatnya. Benci dirinya, ada yang butuh dirinya, ada yang berlutut menyintanya, ada pula yang kejam menyiksa dirinya. Ini hidup wanita si kupu-kupu malam, bekerja bertaruh seluruh jiwa raga. Bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Dosa yang dia kerjakan, sucikah mereka yang datang. Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi, terjadilah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Tiada kawan di kiri dan kanan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.